Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet have ever wandered. Is that your cry this morning? Did you sing that? Hallelujah. How many know sometimes it's a little tricky to step out on waters you've never walked on? We got a couple amens there. It's a little tricky to walk in areas where you haven't walked before. Amen. We say that sometimes in our song and in our worship and our declaration, Lord, take me deeper than my feet have ever wandered. And, you know, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Are you there yet? I don't know if I'm totally where I'm to a place where my trust is without borders. Amen. But I want to be there. Because I know in that place and where God takes me in that place that when I fully rely and trust in him, wow, what powerful things he can do in and amongst us. Amen. And so, you know, call me out, Lord, on those waters. Call me out of my safety zone. Call me out of my place of confidence. Call me out of my place of rest or my place of complacency. Amen. Hallelujah, where you have greater things in mind and greater things in store for me than I can even think of for myself. Amen? Hallelujah, because I believe God wants to do some great and mighty things in and amongst and through us. Hallelujah. I mean, we are his vehicle. We are his avenue. We are his hands extended. We are his body in the earth. Hallelujah. And my cry and my desire is that, Lord, that we are constantly seeking you for greater things. Jesus said it. Greater things, what? Than these shall you do. Hallelujah, because I go to the Father. So that tells me that he has given us the empowerment to do greater things. Hallelujah. I mean, you're ready for some greater things in your life, greater demonstration of the power of God. Hallelujah. You know, I was thinking this week as I was just, you know, pondering. I do a lot of pondering. I told you that last week. I do a lot of, the things you can think. You know, Dr. Seuss says, oh, the things you can think. Well, I do a lot of pondering. I'm a thinker. I do a lot of thinking. And, you know, and I thought about, you know, we sometimes so try to formalize the things of Christianity or the gospel. And so we patternize ourselves and we think we've got to do things like this one or that one. And you know, unless we sing the right song, the power of God can't move. Unless I'm feeling all emotional and goosebumps, then it's probably not God. And so we start thinking that God moves in a certain way. Amen. And so then we start saying, okay, Lord, if they sing that song one more time, then I'll step out and I'll move and I'll know it's you. And that's how we operate sometimes in the things of the gospel. And, you know, I was thinking this week, I thought, well, Lord, you didn't even need a worship team. Jesus functioned. You know, we think that's got to be, we have to, you know, we get so formalized and we think we got to do this and that. And you know, and we get in such a pattern of things. But I'm thinking, Lord, you didn't even need a worship team to pump people up. I love worship, okay? Don't get me wrong. I love worship. But Jesus did not need a worship team to get people ready to receive. He didn't need a prayer line. He didn't need a formula. And you know, we say that we create an atmosphere, and I believe we do create an atmosphere for the presence of the Lord. I love to come together and feel the presence and the atmosphere that's in the house. Amen? But how many know that's as much for me as it is for anybody else? And it is more my glory and praise back to him than it is an opportunity for God to move. Because let me tell you what, if God wants to move, he doesn't need your permission to do so. And so I love the fact that when Jesus is just going about doing good, miracles just follow him. They just happen. Yeah. Hallelujah. He just, like, you know, he's walking down and people are grabbing him. And while they're grabbing him, they're being healed. And he stumbles upon somebody who happens to be blind. And why he's doing that, he just says, hey, you know what? Let's just spit in the mud. Let's put mud on their eyes and cause them to see. And so he did everything. And I love it because he never seemed like he ever did it exactly the same way. Don't you love that about him? Because what happens is if he did it the same way every time, we would think that's the only way it could be done. One of the things that limits us the most, I think, in our life is thinking that that's the only way it can be done. I love when you get ready to do something and somebody has a total different view of it, and you think, well, I never thought of that. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't have thought to do it that way because I have always done it this way. And so what we do is we begin to think in a box, and we believe that that's the only way it can be done sometimes until somebody thinks outside the box, and you think, wow, that really can happen. And you know, and I know I've used the demonstration before. It is amazing to me that we have put a man on the moon. It's amazing to me that we can do what we can do in this day with technology. Like that little pink box in my purse right there that's about this big has the ability to reach nations of the earth with the power of the touch of my finger. I talked to Trinidad on my phone this week. You understand what I'm saying? That little pink box is my phone, in case you missed me there. Pardon? And I didn't pay a fortune to do it. But here's what I love about that. I have no clue how that works. I remember growing up as a little girl thinking, I don't get telephones. I still don't get telephones. I don't know how, I'll date myself here. I don't know how you dial it on your end and it rings into my house, and how that sound gets from your house to my house. Am I the only one that ever wondered that? I don't know how that works. I don't know how they get that little person inside of that TV. And as a little girl, I always wondered, could they see me? Because I can see them. I don't understand all of that stuff, but somebody does. I don't understand how something the size of a cruise ship can stay up in the water. I got on that cruise ship and I thought, I don't know how this works. I don't understand cruise ships. I don't know how that chunk of metal on an airway, a runway, can take off with all of those people on that plane. But I have started stopping at the cockpit and looking in just to see who's in there. Because we put a lot of confidence in the person that we think is in that cockpit. Yeah, and he's got some kind of computerized program. You understand what I'm saying? Like, there are parts of my brains that haven't thought that high. They haven't thought to that level. And I'm not limiting myself to say to you that I could not think that high. But it would take me probably a lot of work. But if I was willing to do it, I could maybe think somewhat on that level. You know, my husband's a big airplane fan, and so I'll say to him, I don't get this. I don't know how this works or whatever. And he'll say, well, then it has this and this and such, and he can look at a plane and tell you exactly what error it came from, what it does, and all that kind of stuff. I don't understand any of that. It's not in my box. You understand what I'm saying? It's not in my box. But the scriptures, Jesus said to them, greater things than these shall you do. And I think sometimes what limits us is to the level of what we think he is able to do and what we are able to do through him. Amen? How many are ready to see greater things? Hallelujah. A couple more of you. I'll keep talking. I'm going to get you all to this. We're all ready for some greater things.
Yeah, I think we fail to realize that when before Jesus did his miracles, it wasn't written in the book yet. Before the apostles did their miracles, it wasn't written in the book yet. So we think that our miracles are going to be written in the book and not realize that it's just like what he says, that when he says, I'll tabernacle with you, or he said, he who knew no sin became sin, or I could say it another way, he who wasn't you became you so that you could become him. And we don't realize that the miracles that we do may not be written in that book yet, and it may not be in that order of the book yet, but when we're listening and realizing that he's not moving outside of me, He doesn't come upon me. He moves through me and in me and with me as I am him. It's not a separate being that's separate from me, that we've become one by marriage. So that when I listen to my husband, it's not going to look like it. I don't need the textbook to tell me how to do it. That's just an example of the miracles that were done. But the light that I'm living isn't written yet. The miracles that I'm doing aren't written yet. They're brand new, and they're going to look different.
That's his story. Hallelujah. We can look back and see what's already been done. Yeah. And we have the faith in seeing that. But that's not our story. Yeah. That's their story. You know, on Wednesday night, we've been talking about the book of Acts and studying the book of Acts. And it's called the Acts of the Apostles. And it's an action book. It's the activated message of the gospel of the cross. That's what the book of Acts is about, and it's the Acts of the Apostles. And really, you see that it's a few of the apostles in the beginning, but then there's a lot about Paul, the Apostle Paul, and we see that in there. But really what it is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost that activated what they had seen and heard and had been demonstrated to them, the message of the finished work of the cross. All of a sudden, Peter, who was wishy-washy back and forth and all of that stuff before the upper room encounter on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost falls, the power, the presence of God that came upon them and in them and through them, the demonstration of what the life of Christ in them, Peter all of a sudden stands up on the day of Pentecost and says, "Men and brethren, we're not drunk as you suppose, but this is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel that I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh." Hello, all flesh. Hallelujah. Pardon? And nowhere in Scripture did he take it away. But what we find is when Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost and begins to proclaim the message of the cross, the Scripture says they were pricked in their heart. And they said, "Tell us more about it. What must we do? What must we do to have this encounter that you guys have encountered and this power that's been stowed?" And it said 3,000 of them were added to the kingdom on that day. Back when the law was given at Mount Sinai, 3,000 were slain, 3,000 died. But on the day of Pentecost, 50 days later, 3,000 souls are added to the kingdom. Old Testament, New Testament, hallelujah. And so we see the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. And not just that they had a Holy Ghost goosebump revival meeting. You understand what I mean? I mean, 3,000 souls, that's a pretty successful revival. But what I love about that is they did not live in that moment and in that time, but they stepped out of there so full of the power of God that when Peter gets to the gate, beautiful, he and John going in the middle of the day just to have prayer into the temple, sees a man who's lame, by the way, who has been crippled since his birth. And something inside of Peter starts to stir up, something he's never fully encountered before, the power of the Holy Ghost. He says, "Look on me, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Hallelujah. How many know that's "lead me where my trust is without borders"? That's "call me to walk out." How many know Peter walked on some waters that day he had never walked on before, even in the presence of Jesus, when he said and called him out and said, "I'm just going to go ahead and operate in what I have been, what has been deposited in me. I'm just going to go ahead and give it unto you." And he said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And guess what? That man got up, walking and leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. See, we can talk about it, we can tell it all we want to, but I believe that we need to be in a season and a mindset that when God speaks to us, or when we begin to declare the word of God, miracles happen in our midst. Are you ready for that? How many are you ready for greater things? Hallelujah. And I'm not speaking outside the book. That's what the book says. Hallelujah. That's what his word says. The scripture says signs and wonders followed them that believed. Any believers in the house today? Hallelujah. We'll sing that song, "Hey, I'm a believer now. Since Jesus saved my soul." Hallelujah. I'm a believer. I believe. He said, "Lord, what must I do to be saved?" Just believe. Believe. Believe that that Jesus is the Son of God. Believe that he came to give us life for you. Believe that he got back up from the dead so that you could have resurrection life in you. Hallelujah. I want to go to Ephesians chapter 3 this morning. Can you start it at 17, Robert? I think I told you 20. But if you can back it up, that'd be great. If not, that's all right. Go ahead with the King James first, and then I want 20 and 21 in the Amplified. Hallelujah. I want to talk about, out of Ephesians this morning, but I want to talk about I am more. Okay? I am more. In Ephesians 3, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all fullness of God. He said, I want you to know the height, the depth, the breadth of the love of God. And I don't know that I have come to the place yet where I really understand the love of God totally in my life. I encounter his love on a daily basis. I understand that I am loved, that I am my beloved's. Hallelujah. That his heart is after me, that my heart is after him. And even when I'm not lovable, here's the best part, even when I'm not lovable, he still loves me. Yeah. Hallelujah. You ever had to love somebody who was unlovable before? Yeah. Hallelujah. And we say love changes, you know, love covers a multitude of sins, and love changes things. How many know one of the most powerful forces you will ever encounter is love? And I believe love is more powerful than hatred. I believe love is more powerful than hatred. Hallelujah. But when we start living out of a realm of the love of God in our life, we quit measuring ourselves, by anybody else, by our past mistakes, our limitations, and we start living out of an empowerment of who God said that we are and who he's called us to be. Hallelujah. And we're empowered by that love. Now, to him who, in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and, we're over in the Amplified, do super abundantly, far above and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. I love this. I love how the Amplified says it. King James says, who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. Okay? And I started out by saying, oh, the things you can think. I mean, we can think pretty high sometimes, but how many know we're limited sometimes by the level as to what we think? If we are convinced something can happen, we quit putting effort towards it. You understand what I'm saying? We don't empower it. So in other words, if I'm thinking, well, I could never do something, I quit empowering myself to work towards that. And so I convince myself that I'm not. One of the worst things we can do for children is to tell them, you can't. You can't be somebody. You can't do that very good. You are not able. You come from the wrong family. You don't have the right education. You've got the wrong background. You're not strong enough. You're not big enough. You're not smart enough. You're not pretty enough. Whatever it is, and we convince ourselves most of the time, and if we're not careful, we'll convince other people that you can't do that. One of the worst people to be connected to in your life are dream crushers. And sometimes people are dream crushers and really don't mean to be. You'll say, man, I was thinking about doing this. We laugh all the time because my mom said, I was called to preach. And Jenny said, you can't even drive a car. How in the world could that happen? And so it wasn't that Jenny didn't believe it. She just is questioning. Are you sure you heard God? Because you can't even drive a car and you got way too many kids to do that. So she built a church across the yard. She didn't even have to drive very far to do that, right? Hallelujah. But how many know she stood on many platforms outside of this hill and declared the gospel of Jesus? A woman who was married to a man who looked like he wasn't going to turn out to be anything. And you know the background of my family, and I'm not going to go into that story. But I mean, no, it did not look like it could happen. It did not look practical. It didn't look like God could do that. But yet there's something inside of a heart when you hear the voice of God speak to you. It says, Lord, I don't know how it could come to pass, but if you'll empower me to do it, I'll do whatever you call me to do. I don't feel like I'm the smartest. I don't feel like I'm the best. I don't feel like I'm the best speaker. I don't know if I got it in me, but if you see something in me, Lord, go ahead and develop that. Go ahead and bring that forth out of me, because he's able to do by, in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose. I mean, no, it's his purpose in us, and do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond. I can't say that without thinking about Buzz Lightyear, to infinity and beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. Anybody got any high prayers in here today? Anybody got some desires, some thoughts, some hopes, or dreams? I don't care if you are 8 or 80. I hope you've got some desires and some dreams. Because it's not over till it's over. And when you quit dreaming is when you quit living for tomorrow. Amen? Your dreams may be different, but you still need to have dreams for tomorrow, dreams for the future, dreams for your life and your purpose. Verse 21. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So be it. The scripture said he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can even ask or think. Now, Paul was writing this in prison as a prisoner of the Lord to them, to the disciples, to encourage them in the task at hand and the mission that they've been called to accomplish. How many know the mission they're called to accomplish is a big one? Because they're being persecuted on every hand for the faith that they have and the message that we preach. See, we hear the words of Paul and we read the great scriptures of the Acts of the Apostles, the Apostle Paul, and we look at that and think how profound, how incredible that is, but we don't really realize the price that they paid to listen and to preach the gospel that you're sitting here hearing today. Because it was controversial when they preached it. It went against their Mosaic system, their Mosaic law. It was different. And Paul, in this very scripture, goes back to the beginning and said, the mystery that's been hid has been revealed to me. And he's not just talking about Christ in you, the hope of glory, but he said, but that the Gentiles have the same inheritance that we do as the Jew. How many know that was controversial thinking? That was controversial thinking, that you have a right as an heir of the beloved, that you are joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and that everything that he died for did not just go to the Jew, but it also went to the Gentile. For there is neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female, but we are all one in Christ Jesus. That's enough to make you jump up and shout this morning. Amen? Hallelujah. And so he's saying to them, listen, guys, God is able to do super abundantly above your level of thinking. Most of the time what gets us in trouble, think about it, is our stinking thinking. Yeah. Our mind ends up being our greatest battlefield. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you think you are nothing, you will operate out of realm of nothingness until somebody challenges you up to something higher. Yeah. Amen? Our thinking, we war more with our doubt, our fear, depression, discouragement, things like that, that we operate. If we operate out of those things in our life, how many know it renders us powerless to do what God has called us to do? That's why he said, therefore, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. How many know we need to think on a higher level? There's a whole new drive in school, you know, about how to think. Not what to think so much, but how to think. How to use your brain. How to think on a higher level. We get kids into the groups, and then we have prompts that tells us, now, I need you to think on a higher level than what we normally would do. You know, and we describe a text or something like that. But how many know you have to challenge them to think bigger than just what the line says? Okay? We were reading a story, and there was a lady in the story, and there was a school bus and a child. And I said, who do you think this lady is in this picture? And one of them says, well, I think maybe it's his mom. And another one says, well, I think it could be the principal. And another one says, well, it could be a school teacher. The fact of the matter is, they could all three be correct, right? But we get to the next page, and she's at the board, and she's writing on the board, and the kids are in class. So who is she? There's a good chance that she's the school teacher. But how many know we had to think past this point and use some more clues to get some more information to get to this point? And so what we're challenged to do, even in the scriptures, is to think higher, think bigger, and think on a bigger span of what God really is saying to us. I believe that we are learning to look deeper into the scriptures to find out more than what it just says on the surface. Amen? A lot of times what we do, we pull a scripture out and we think, I like that. That works for me. And we pull it out, and that's okay. That's good. But one of the greatest demonstrations of this, I think, is in John chapter 13, I believe it is, when Peter has just said, you know, Lord, I'll go to the cross with you. I'll die with you. And Jesus looks at him and says, but Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. And King James draws the line there and starts chapter 14. But really, it's a continuation. They haven't left where they're at. It's a continuation of what Jesus is speaking to him. But he says to him, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. Verse 14, chapter 14, verse 1 says, don't let your heart be troubled. Jesus is speaking that to Peter. And we use that scripture a lot of times as a funeral sermon, and it works. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And that works. That works. But that's not what he's saying in that scripture. He's saying, Peter, you're going to mess up, but it's not the end of the story. And when you do, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't live in the moment. You are more than one momentary failure. You are more than one night of disbelief. Thomas, I can't believe unless I see the nail prints in his hands. And so for centuries, we have called him Doubting Thomas. He gets the title of Doubting Thomas. Well, Lord have mercy. Thank goodness they didn't record me. Come on. If one moment of disbelief defines you, you will live in that moment and go no farther than there. Thomas said, look, guys, you know, I get it what you're saying. But I saw it. I watched it. I was there. I saw the brutality. I saw him die. I saw them put him in the tomb. And unless I can put my hands in his hands and I can touch his side, I don't know that I got it in me to believe. You ever been in the moment where you just say, Lord, I don't know that I got it in me to believe. I want to believe. I walked with you. I saw the miracles. I know what you said. But I also have seen the pain and the suffering. I've seen life happen around me. And I just don't know. I got it in me to believe. And so we label him Doubting Thomas. But Jesus comes to him and says, Thomas, put her there. You're blessed, Thomas, because you get to see it in my hands. But blessed are all of those who have believed and have not seen. You are not defined by one moment of disbelief, one moment of failure, one moment of weakness. Let me just say to you real honestly today, if we are defined by that one moment, not one of us would be sitting here today, because all of us would have said, man, I blew that one big time. Is there anybody in here who can say, yeah, I would have just had to walk away and say, I've blown it. My faith wasn't strong. My witness wasn't strong. My words weren't correct. And I blew it, but thank God that he loved me super abundantly above all that I could ask or think. Hallelujah. And that I am more than my past failures. I am more than a bad decision. I am more than a moment of weakness. I am more than a moment of denial. And we find out that history tells us that Thomas goes on to evangelize most of what we come to know as India, and was a great missionary into the world. Hallelujah. He didn't refer to himself as Doubting Thomas. We called him that. Be careful what labels you put on people that limits their ability to fly. Hallelujah. That limits their ability to be everything that God has called them to be. And so we think about, we label ourselves and we look at labels and things like that. And what I want you to go away thinking here today is, I am more. And you finish the rest of that sentence. I am more than a number on a scale. I am more than the sum of my fears. I am more than my insecurities. I am more than my bad hair day. I am more than that broken relationship. Hallelujah. How many know the woman who had issues was more than where she was in that moment? Don't let your issues keep you from touching him. Hallelujah. We all have issues sometimes. Amen. We all have issues sometimes. And what she found is the reason she didn't touch him, or she was hesitant, is because she thought she did not have permission to touch him. She thought under the law that she was forbidden from touching. She thought that she was not clean enough to touch him, that she was unclean. And so she prohibited herself from touching him. That's why she said, I'll just sneak in and I'll touch him from behind. And maybe if I just touch the hem of his garment, nobody will ever know. My secret will be safe. And perhaps today, for the first day in my life, I can be made totally whole. Hallelujah. I mean, we all need some healing. We all need to sneak in behind every now and then and just grab a hold of the skirt of Jesus and say, I may not even have the right to touch you, but it's either do or die. The line is drawn in the sand, and today I'm going to jump outside of my box. I'm going to trust, go where a place where my trust is without borders. I'm going to walk on waters I've never walked on before. I'm going to go ahead and touch Jesus if by chance. See, my uncleanness doesn't make him unclean, but his virtue makes me every whit whole. Hallelujah. The woman who was bowed over. I am more than my own physical inabilities or disabilities or everything that has pushed me over or held me down. How many know she, for 18 years, the scripture said, was bowed over. She did not get up one morning bowed over, but it was a continual pushing, pulling, something pulling her to the ground for 18 years. And she was in the temple. And Jesus said, does not this daughter of Abraham have the right to be made whole on the Sabbath day? How many know the Sabbath day, it means it's your day of rest. And when you rest, God works. Hallelujah. When you work, God rests and stands back and says, when you're done, then I'll step in Hallelujah. And I can work. When you just relinquish to me and say, God, I can't do it on my own. Hallelujah. Moses is on the backside of the desert. Hallelujah. And he's there. Why? Why is he in the desert? Because he's killed a man. Right? He sees the two fighting. He kills the Egyptians. He buries him in the sand. He flees. He runs when he realizes that he's been seen. He's been raised in the house of a Pharaoh. He's had everything he's ever wanted. Everything he's ever needed was there. But how many know not one day of his life was he an Egyptian? He was a Hebrew. See, we can hang out in a whole lot of different places. You can have a whole lot of influence of that in your life. But never did Moses have the heart of an Egyptian beating in his chest. It was the heart of a Hebrew. And when mama put him in that basket and sent him out, hallelujah, she not only sent him out and trusted God with him, but she nursed him. I believe prayed over him, spoke into his life, reminded him who he was until the moment when he had to go to Pharaoh's house. But there would come a moment when he would have to flee from that system and that place where he was. And he's outside in the backside of the desert and he's keeping sheep. How many know shepherders were detested by the Egyptians? They didn't like shepherds. But even while he's in the backside of the desert, God is training him and grooming him as a shepherd and as a leader. See, I don't know about you, but all along the steps of my life, I'm starting to get it now. And I look back and I see where God has placed me in places and put me here for a while. And at times it seemed like it was on the backside of a desert. Say, Lord, do you remember where I am? I'm still here, Lord. Yeah, come on. And so, but I realized that God was training me and grooming me and preparing me for something. But God begins to come and speak to Moses, and he begins to speak his name, and all of a sudden the bush beside him is on fire. And I love how King James brings it up. I don't know what verse that's in. If you want to bring it up, you can, Robert, but it's in Exodus 3. And all of a sudden the bush is on fire. And I like how King James says it in there. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this bush that is on fire. How many know when there's a bush on fire and it's not consumed, it's probably going to get your attention. But how many know what you need to do is turn aside and see what God is doing. Amen. Because God wants to speak to you out of those circumstances. And what he says to Moses is, Moses, I didn't bring you out here to the desert to leave you, but I raised you up as a deliverer for my people Israel. And I called you out of Egypt to call you back in and to lead my people out of Egypt. But how many know Moses was came to a place of being content and comfortable where he was? I'll just be content to be a shepherd in the wilderness. But that was not God's intent for Moses. Because he said, he didn't know that years later, many, many centuries later, that a person named Paul would write a scripture that said, because I want to do in you what is exceedingly abundantly above all that you can even ask or think. Moses, you have no idea what I want to do in your life. You have no idea the power of a leader that's inside you. You have no idea the calling and gifting of God that's in you. And Moses said, listen, I don't even talk well. I have speech issues. I don't know how to articulate what you want me to say. How many know any preacher that's ever stood up said, Lord, you give me your words to say, because I don't know if I can articulate the heart of God today. But if you'll speak through me, hallelujah, if you'll give me the words to say, to speak to your people. And how many know he began to say, no, you don't understand. You know, I killed a man. I can't talk. I'm on the backside of the desert. I'm looking at the back end of sheep, and the bush is not burning up, and I don't get that either. But I don't know, Lord, what you want from me. And God began to say, Moses, I called you and ordained you as a deliverer and a leader of my people Israel. One of the greatest men ever recorded in the scriptures, Moses, who leads the people out of Egyptian slavery and brings them into a place. Moses is not even fully able to take them into the promised land, because even the mediator of an old covenant did not have the power to bring them into a place of rest. But God begins to use Moses and brings them out of that place. And every excuse that he gives is, God begins to tell him, I'm going to send you a mouthpiece. I'm going to prepare Pharaoh's heart. I'm going to go ahead and throw your rod down. I'm going to use that rod in your hand. Silly little stick that you carry. I'm going to use that. You know what their stick mostly was their, like a coup blanket. It was like a totem pole. It was like their history stick. And they would put their marks on it of deliverances and victories and all of those things that had happened in their life. And they would tell literally their story, their children, their grandchildren, and their story. They would carve that in that rod or that staff or in that stick. He said, you throw down everything that you are, Moses. And then you pick it back up again, because it's going to be by my mighty hand that I bring deliverance in your life. He said, well, then who am I going to say sent me? He said, you say that I am has sent me. The I am that I am. All you will ever need, Moses, I am. Yes. Hallelujah. All that you will ever need, I am. And I am able to do far beyond your realm of expectation. Far above everything that you've ever thought that you could do in your own strength. Do I believe God calls us out of our safety zone? Oh, yes, I do.
Yeah, I mean, that John 14, that mansion's there, that's the same Greek word of abode, which is also used in Revelation, where he says, behold, the tabernacle of God is in men. That's the same Greek word that's used for mansions in John 14 prior to the cross, that's used in Revelation after cross when he says, you've become the tabernacle of God. You are the mansion. So you're the abode of God. Again, what we were talking about this morning, you are not separate from him. So everything you do in him. It's amazing that Moses did all that without the indwelling Holy Spirit. It was all outside of him, and he still did that stuff.
On the ground, huh?
God can still use that stick. All he's got to do is put it in the hands of the man of God or the hands of God, and that stick can be used again. And I think a lot of times we think because people make mistakes or that people fall from the grace of God on occasion that they can't ever be used again. But when he threw that staff down and picked that snake up, it was used again. So it doesn't matter how low we go or how high we go, God's still God. You know, David said, if I make my bed in hell, he's there. And if I make my bed in the heavens, he's still there.
God's still God.
Amen. Amen. Doesn't matter how many times you fall down, but it does matter how many times you get back up. Hallelujah. Amen. One bad chapter does not mean your story is over. Hallelujah. For every scheduled departure, there is a scheduled arrival. You can't just depart the old life. You have to fully embrace and enter the new. Not just what you are saved from, but what you are saved to. The Lord has your future in view. Hallelujah. He brought you out to bring you in. Hallelujah. God must first do a deliverance in Moses before he can use Moses to bring a deliverance in the people. Hallelujah. He meets the I am and finds out that he is more than you will ever need me to be. I am the I am. Hallelujah. And he says in verse 21 of that chapter, you have, go ahead and bring up 21 and I'll read that. Hallelujah. And we're closing with this scripture. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, And it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go out empty. For every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. I love that. He says, and when you go out, you will not go out empty. Somebody say, I'm coming out. Hallelujah. I'm coming out, and I'm not coming out empty. It may seem as if you have been in a temporary place. Everybody say temporary. It is a temporary place. Hallelujah. And you are not limited to where you are right now. And I can hear the wheels turn and say, but you don't know, I don't know. I don't need to know. God knows. Here's what I come to tell you today. It is a temporary place. And I'm coming out. We're coming out, and we're not coming out empty. Hallelujah. God has goodness in store for you. I don't care your story. I don't care about your background. I don't care where you're sitting right now. I don't even care what your current situation is. It's not permanent. Hallelujah. If you can believe that with me this morning. Hallelujah. If you can believe that it's not permanent, that it's a temporary situation, that God has exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ever ask or think in mind for you, I am more than my current circumstances. I am more than my current situation. I am more than any current labels. And I'm coming out, and I'm not coming out empty. I'm coming out full. Hallelujah. Do you believe that this morning? Hallelujah. Reach out and grab a hold of that. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just about the time you think that you can't do it, or God the vision that you see is bigger than what you can grab a hold of or get or grasp, God connects you to an errand. Or God sends you a burning bush. Or God begins to speak by his almighty hand and says, you're more than what you're walking in, Moses. You're more than what you know. There's greater things in store for you. You're more powerful than you know. Hallelujah. This is a room full of powerful men and women this morning. Anointed men and women of God in this house. Hallelujah. And what happens when we make a statement like that? Everybody looks around and says, well, there maybe is one, and theirs maybe is one. I want you to look at yourself this morning. Hallelujah. I want you to confess over yourself, I am a mighty woman of God. I am a powerful man of God. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. No word spoken over me in negativity can have any value in my life. Hallelujah. The purpose and the will of God in my life is more powerful than any current circumstances. It's greater than the number in my checking account. Hallelujah. It's greater than any confession or any diagnosis that I've been given. Hallelujah. It's greater than my fears. It's greater than the sum of my discouragement or depression. It's greater than my family's limitations right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am more than what the enemy allows me to believe I am. I am who he says I am. If he says I'm salt, then I'm salt. If he says I'm light, then I'm light. If he says I'm powerful, then I'm powerful. If he says I'm anointed, then I'm anointed. Hallelujah. And it may not even be just for you. It might be somebody in your household, somebody you know right now that needs to know their purpose for more than they're walking in. Hallelujah. Go ahead and lift up your hands this morning and go ahead and claim it for yourself. Claim it for them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for the empowerment of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we remove limitations this morning. We remove strongholds. We remove mindsets, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And we say that this is an anointed, powerful house full of people today. Hallelujah. With mission, with purpose, with calling. Hallelujah, with anointing, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, we break every limitation in Jesus' name. Every mindset, Lord, that says that reduces us to anything less than what you've called us to be, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you're here this morning and you want prayed over, If something that I've ministered speaks to you and you want us to just agree together with you, come on up here and we'd be glad to pray with you. Hallelujah. Let's just rejoice in his presence today. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus.
I will rejoice.